This morning, I will read from three verses of scripture. The first one is Luke 4 and 18. These words are recorded. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free. Our second reading is Matthew 22:34-40. These words are recorded. When the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together, and one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question to test him. "Teacher, which commandment in the law is the greatest?" Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the greatest and first commandment. And a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." Our third scripture reading is Matthew 28:18-20. These words are found. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you to the end of the age." May we hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Thanks be to God. Open our ears, our hearts, and our minds. I want to try to talk about, for the time that is ours this morning, the mission and call of the church. The mission and call of the church. In conjunction with the work of the transition team, my sermon this morning will be about the church's mission and vision. One of the things we're called to do as a church during this interim period is to come up with a renewed mission and vision of the church. As we prepare to do this exciting work, allow me to give you a few things to think about. When we look at the question of what is the mission of the church, I believe it is helpful in the broader theological sense to first answer the question, what or who is the church? A young couple got married and were on their way from home from their honeymoon when seemingly out of nowhere, a tractor trailer pulled out in front of them. To avoid the crash, the young groom had to quickly turn in order to avoid running into the truck. The car went into a tailspin and landed in a ditch. The groom was okay, but his new bride was hurt and she was bleeding profusely. He knew if he didn't get her to a doctor, she could possibly die. He got out of the car and to his surprise and relief, he saw a sign that read, "The Office of Dr. Martha Jones, Internal Medicine." He picked up his beloved wife and struggled up the hill toward the doctor's home. He began knocking on the door. An older woman came to the door and the groom said, "Dr. Jones, can you save my wife's life?" But much to his surprise, Dr. Jones said, "I'm sorry, son, but I stopped practicing medicine many years ago. I don't have any equipment here and I'm afraid I won't be able to help you." Distraught with frustration and grief, the young man said, "Dr. Jones, if you can no longer help hurting people, then please take down the sign." Listen, there are a whole lot of churches that need to take down their signs. I love the way my pastor used to put it. He would say, "Don't let the sign be lying." Far too many churches operate under the banner and title of church, but what they become is far removed from the original purpose and intention of the church. Somebody once said that when you join the church, you join a revolution already in progress. I believe the church is an alternative vision for society. I believe the church is not just here to help us cope with life, but it is here to help us change life. Listen, it's not here just to help us get through another day. It's here to help our future days be more equitable and fair. The word church comes from the Greek word ekklesia, which means the called out ones. Well, what are we called out from? We're called out from the ways of the world and the logics of empire, which has always been about domination, control, and oppression. And we are called into the way of God, which is love, justice, mercy, and peace. Listen, that's the real work of the church, not to conform to things as they are, but to live humanity's vision. Listen, not to be a tool of Pharaoh, but to be an instrument in the hands of a righteous God. Remember Jesus' inaugural sermon was preached from the searing words of Isaiah 61, which summed up the purpose of his ministry, to bring good news to the poor, to proclaim release to the captives, recovering of the sight to the blind, and to set at liberty those who are oppressed. Listen, can I tell you, the church doesn't have a mission. The mission has a church. Come on now, let me say it again. I said it too fast. The church doesn't have a mission. The mission has a church. Listen, the overarching mission, as captured in the verses I read, is to save souls and bodies from the hell of oppression. Come on now. It's to reflect the goodness of God in a troubled and broken world. Let me just tell you, if justice for the poor is not the church's originating impulse and organizing principle, then it is not the ecclesia called out from the world by God, but it is a religious social club on Pharaoh's payroll. Come on now. Remember, in Genesis, when God made a covenant with Abraham, it had nothing to do with chosenness in the way the world normally thinks about it. It was about gathering a people who would love God, love their neighbors, and live in such loving and righteous ways that their neighbors would inquire about their laws. They would see this vibrant community that lived in harmony, radical sharing, and hospitality, and they would want to live likewise. Come on now, it was a vision for the entire world, not just a few. Scholars will tell you that the Bible really opens with the story of the Exodus, where God delivers the children of Israel from Egyptian bondage. The story of Exodus carries one big idea, and that is the idea of deliverance. According to Hebrew scholar Dave Adamson, in Hebrew, the term Mitzrayim is translated in the Bible as Egypt. It means narrow, it means restricted, or it means bondage. Mitzrayim is where the children of Israel were held in bondage for 400 years before God freed them to the wide open spaces of the promised land. While Mitzrayim is a word for narrow place, the word for wide open spaces used in Psalms is ravak, which means wide, spacious, are to breathe. Listen, God freed the people of Israel from slavery in Egypt, but the story of the Exodus is not just about a group of people being delivered from Mitzrayim to Ravak at a certain time in ancient history. Listen, it's intimately also about the story of God delivering and rescuing all of us from whatever is oppressing us and holding us captive today. Whether it is racism, sexism, homophobia, or greed. Listen, God is calling us from Mitzrayim, the narrow, suffocating place of oppression, to Ravak, the place where all of us can thrive and breathe. Jesus said, I came to set you free from the narrow places, the Mitzrayim, that confines us and oppresses us and wears us out. In first century Palestine, listen, Jesus started a countercultural movement that defied social norms of the Roman Empire by creating alternative communities of shared life in service to the least of these. Listen, Jesus proclaimed an alternative society that challenged systems of male domination, social inequality, economic disparity, and violence. He espoused a lifestyle of radical love, lavish generosity, extravagant forgiveness, inclusive hospitality, compassionate action, selfless service, passion for justice, and simple living. It was this way of life that defined the purpose and meaning of the church for hundreds of years. Listen, things did not radically change until the 4th century when the emperor Constantine invited the church to help rule an empire. It was then, by and large, that the imperial church became invested in wealth and power and the rule of empire. As a result, Christianity over the years became a chaplain to the status quo, and its radical lifestyle of justice was replaced by a system of creeds and dogmatic beliefs. So understanding this, I believe the church, outside of administering the ordinances or sacraments, is called to do 3 simple things: to love God, to love people, and to make disciples. Now, at first glance, that may sound simple, but listen, they are radically profound and revolutionary. Listen, that's why Gandhi said Christianity would be a great thing if anyone ever tried it. Listen, that's the duty of the church: to love God, to love people, and to make disciples. Listen, we've got the wrong idea about the church. Listen, the church is mission driven. Listen, the church is a love tabernacle. Listen, God did not create the church to be oppressed by creeds, but God created the church to be energized by deeds. Listen, Jesus never intended to create a new religion of rites and rituals and dogmas that offer an eternal reward in heaven. No, instead, Jesus announced the subversive arrival of the kingdom of God, a social and economic revolution of the heart based on a lifestyle of radical love. Listen, he invited his followers to transform their lives and change the world. Somebody once said that Jesus did not create the church to be a wholesale discount house offering people a cheap form of religion and cheap grace. Listen, Jesus didn't create the church to be a mortuary where spiritually dead people walk in and dead people walk out dead to the oppressive ways of the world and how they hurt all of us. Come on now, he didn't create the church to be an appendage of America or any country where we interpret the gospel in ways that keeps us from challenging injustice. No, God created the church for a higher purpose than that. Listen, he created the church to be a lighthouse to shine light and in a dark and benighted world. Listen, he created the church to be a restaurant where hungry souls can come and be fed. Listen, he created the church to be a hospital where the brokenhearted can come and get healed. He created the church to be a rest station where weary souls can lay down their burdens and their heavy loads. He created the church to be a schoolhouse where we can study to show ourselves approved, rightly dividing the word of truth. Listen, that's what the church is. That's what the church is called to do. It's called to deliver the word of truth. Listen, truth can transform the nation. Truth can pull down strongholds. Truth can level playing fields. Truth can open doors to fairness and equality. Can I tell you, there is no freedom without the truth. There is no love without the truth. There is no justice without the truth. There's no equal opportunity without the truth. Without truth, bigotry and racism and oppression and injustice will live on unscathed and unbothered. Can I tell you, in times like these, we need a church that dares to tell the truth. Let me say it one more time. When you join the church, you join a revolution already in progress. Next week, I will talk more specifically about the mission and vision of the church based on the 3 things that the church is called to do: love God, love people, and make disciples. God bless you, and amen.